Hey, it's Beth here. Okay, it's episode 113 and it's June 13th and it's 2020, but 13 is not a lucky number, so don't expect much. Anyway, I wasn't even going to do this today, but I need to live up to my full potential. And, you know, I woke up this morning and, you know, but this time I woke up at 4:30 this morning, which was very early, and I don't know what I was thinking. And so my day's a little upside down. But that happened before, but this is the sad part. I think I'm keeping up with everything, like the music, and I'm really hip. All the new music, all the new songs I know are commercials on television. So I woke up this morning and turned on the TV, and there it was. Oh, 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 it's Zantic. And I actually thought it was a song. I'm like, that's how bad this is. That's how worried I am all of a sudden. So, you know, I thought, okay, what am I going to do? And I found out that I'm at DEF CON 5. I mean, I started there, okay? That's where I began. That's when I was under 45. It's so much worse. And everybody's at DEF CON 5 if they're 45 and they're not a smoker, okay? The military uses this very same thing. And the weird thing is, it's stupid because DEF CON 1 is bad and DEF CON 5 is not. So I was very confused thinking I was doing great because I was at like DEF CON 2 and I thought, oh my God, I'm not even close to 5. No, it goes in the opposite direction. And you need to know this because the military did it. And I think they're doing it just to make us feel stupid. So anyway, this is what happened. I'm getting closer and closer. It's getting dire. And I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm now at, I think, okay, DEF CON, I was at DEF CON 3.5 and 4 for a long time. And, you can stay there for a very, very long time if you dye your hair and you don't sing TV commercials. You can just stay there. People aren't really paying attention. But when you start singing TV commercials or you don't get your hair done, which I haven't had my hair done in 6 months, and I pulled out one of my hairs to see how long the root was of gray, and it's 3.5 inches. I look like, you know, in Silence of the Lambs, you know, Hannibal Lecter had that head of a woman in a jar, and her roots had grown. That's who I am. That's like, if I fell on the sidewalk and my hair parted in the back, people wouldn't help me. They wouldn't even call the police. They think that I'd been there for years. So it's all bad. So I'm in trouble and I have to deal with it. So the first thing is, because I'm very shallow, and it usually helps me, I came up with my first beauty tip in 6 months, and it is a winner. You know, okay, so here it is. Necessity is the mother of invention. That's how this began. And so what happened is, you know, I can't go to TJ Maxx anymore and get my collagen from my upper arm. All right? So I was looking for a Band-Aid. Stay with me. You're not going to be sorry. And, you know, this is going somewhere. So I actually had a new low. The reason I needed a Band-Aid is because I write up these podcasts on my composition books that I used to have in grammar school. And I actually use a fountain pen, which makes me think the nuns are watching and I have to finish my work. So it helps me. I didn't get a paper cut. You know how the black and white on outside of the composition book is that thick cardboard? I'm not kidding. I got a cardboard cut. I mean, how thin is my skin? It's a gash in my finger. I had to get a Band-Aid. Usually I can stop it up with a tissue from the toilet, like toilet paper. This time, no. So I'm frantically looking for a Band-Aid. I mean, I'm not 4 years old, so I don't need them very often, you know. Cutting myself, shaving, everything is toilet paper doable in this house. But this thing, I hit an artery. It was spewing. So I'm looking for a band-aid, and of course I can't find one. So I have to take everything out of this drawer. I found the canister with the band-aid, and there was one in it. So that's good. So I'm starting to put everything back, and I see this old jar of Preparation H. It's got to have been there for 20 years, because I have a litany of problems, a long list, and this was just a problem once, like 20 years ago. And it's funny, because I was in a kiddie pool with Debbie and the kids, and I couldn't get out of the water. I said, there's something wrong with me, with my rear end. She screams out in front of all these other moms. It was pretty funny. You got a hemorrhoid. Welcome to the club. So, but I never got another one, which is kind of odd, because I usually get very embarrassing things. If it's embarrassing, I usually get it over and over. But anyway, I found this little tube. She told me to buy it, and I bought it. By the time I actually bought it, like 7 days later, because I am lazy, the hemorrhoid was gone. So I've got this tube, although I did open it, so it's not good. So, and it's 20 years old. I put it on my upper arms. Now wait. If I read that models used Preparation H under their eyes to get rid of the baggy sagginess. And I was thinking, that was interesting. But what's really interesting is if Preparation H can make your hemorrhoids look good, my arms are in the back. Debbie said, you're going to get a hemorrhoid on your arm. We're going to find out. I think she could be wrong about that. She's usually right, but I really think it's actually working. And I take my glasses off before I look in the mirror. But I'm getting rid of the tube of Preparation H. Like I'm going to finish this tube, because it's stupid to have a tube that's 20 years old. And I actually think it's working. And I think I look fabulous. A bit, kind of, slightly better than it was before. And this is my first beauty tip in 6 months, because all of my other beauty tips went over like a lead balloon. I mean, you people don't trust me. I'm coughing. Thank God I'm at home. If I cough like that out there in the world, I would be clubbed like a baby seal. Health tip, don't cough in public. That's just an aside. Okay. So, then this happened. Okay, so now I'm into self-improvement. I've got this little upper arm thing going, right? And I'm singing along to jingles on the television. It's a bad day in everyone's life. So, I looked at my life's goals, which is a bad thing to do. I wanted to be a world-class ballerina. That ship has sailed without me. They didn't even know I was alive. That ship has sailed. Then I wanted to be multilingual. Multilingual. I think that sounds kind of dirty. And I think I'd rather be singularly lingual. So that one's gone too. Back to the drawing board. So I went to what I should never do, which is the internet. And it seems like everybody has a list of 10 things on how to age gracefully, nicely, whatever you want to add. Okay. It's never 11 tips or 6 tips. It's always 10 tips, which makes me highly suspicious that they're just throwing in tips just to get it to 10. Or they're taking out tips that are really good to get it to 10. So here are some standards that I hate. Like having gratitude, okay? I have guilt about that. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Gratitude is such a weird word. I don't get it. And nobody used this word before like 2016. And all of a sudden, everybody's supposed to know what it means. So I fail at that. And I always feel bad when I say the word gratitude. And I know I'm just going to be bad at that. So then the next one. Reconnect with nature. Connect with nature. Reconnect with nature. The last time I connected with nature, I got poison ivy. And the time before that, when I connected with nature, I was bit by 3 mosquitoes on my nose. So when I'm going to stay above nature, I have no interest in connecting with nature. It's filled with biting things. I got my dogs in the house, and that's as close as I want to get to nature. Someone's dumb. So I'm going to stay above nature. That's it. Then this one, explain this one to me. I've seen this on lists and in super self-help books that you have to pay for, and I can't figure it out. You have to help me here. Explain to me how I do this. This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to only eat. I'm supposed to eat and stop when I get to 80% full. How in God's name can I know that? How do you know when you're 80% full? Like, what is this? Is there a graph? Is there some kind of a guide? Could the restaurant just, you know, separate some of the food and show me where 80% is? I see this everywhere. I'm like, who are these people? They can't do it. I'd like to put them through like a scientific experiment and see if they land on 80% every single time. That 80% just sounds dumb. So can't do that one either. Live in the moment. Okay, my physical body can only live in this moment. So I think I've nailed that one without even trying. That's great. So then, okay, this one, number 4, 5, because I dropped some. Leave urgency behind and adopt a slower pace. I would love this for my bladder. Just tell me how to do it. Because I am trying, I haven't gone out much. I've gone to Debbie's driveway. And one time I saw another friend and we were in a front yard. But I have to gauge my bladder because I can't go to their bathrooms or anything. It's not fair. Like, we're all old and some of these people are sick. So me included, because of my asthma, like, I don't know. I'd love to get urgency off my bladder. Like, just teach me how to do it. So I'm always thinking, how much longer do I have the entire time I'm with somebody? I'm thinking, I got to get home. And I live 45 minutes away from everybody in the world. So that's the other problem. People are cool about this because there's a big difference between 10 minutes and 45 minutes. Let me tell you. So then I saw this other one. Go to bed earlier. You're telling older people to go to bed earlier? Come on. It was in an older person thing. I'm like, really? I really like to wait till it's dark out. So, I mean, come on. Come on, really? It's just, I think you're being mean. I think that was just mean. So I will go to bed 5 minutes earlier for that guy. Now, this one was good. It said drink a lot of water. Well, wine is 85% water. So I am going to even have to drink more. That one I can do. You got it. You got it, buddy. That one's good. Then they say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Are you kidding me? It's the most boring meal of the day. It's oatmeal, scrambled eggs, toast, cereal. This is all not fun food. Muesli, nothing fun about breakfast. Nothing. And you go to restaurants, and it's not like you can get an Indian breakfast. You can't go to an Indian restaurant for breakfast or an Italian restaurant for breakfast. Lunch is off the chart. Lots of things on the menu. Dinner's even better. Hors d'oeuvres, everything. Breakfast is boring. I'm not doing it. I'm not signing up for lunch, an early lunch. So that one, I'm not waking up for that. No, I'm not doing it. Fried nothing? I mean, you know, like, forget it. Just forget it. So I'm not having breakfast. Bored out of my mind. You know, then I watched these videos on happiness because all the lists were stupid. So I found this one video from like Yale University or whatever, as if they know what they're doing. And so it's this woman and she was telling me about happiness and she's got like 15 doctorates in happiness. Okay. I'm looking at this video. She does not look happy. She only cracks a smile at the very end. So I'm bored, right? And this is what I do when I watch people during the coronavirus and they're in their homes. I look at the books on their bookshelf because they're always in front of a bookshelf. This woman's books, they were Catch 22. Okay. She had all these lose weight books. And then she had a whole section of Edward Albee plays. Nothing about Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. No comedies. No nothing. I don't trust her. I don't trust this. Her life isn't happy. So, you know, here's another one that you got to avoid. And this one is, this is like salt in the wound, ugly. It's on all the lists. You're supposed to look over your, what you've done in 2020 so you can be proud of it. I mean, they actually have written this. You will find it. And I'm just thinking, you've got a very, very on edge group of people, slippery slope right now. What has anyone done in 2020? Has anyone been on a trip? Has anyone been to a great party? Has anyone done anything? Bought a boat, car, surprised anybody? What would anybody, you say no, take that off the list this year. Maybe it was on the list last year. Come on, be fair. But no, that's not what they're doing. So then I tried to find quotes, okay? And they're all the same. I don't care if you're John Lennon or Gandhi, you're saying the same exact thing. I did find one pretty good one, and it's by William Wordsworth. He's a poet. And he said, the wiser mind mourns less for what age takes away than what it leaves behind. I never thought of that before. It means that be grateful for all the loving people you had in your life before you lost them. It's going to make me sad. But I never thought of it like that before. And I think I just wasn't ready to think of it like that before. And it's really a good idea. Because if you've lost people that you've loved with all your heart, I guess you were lucky to have loved them. So, got to pull out of that one. Pull it back. My real feelings, you know, my feelings about Brett. But I should be grateful that I had him. I should be grateful I had my dad and kids, parents, and my dog, Thor. And I really should look at it that way. So I'm going to try. That's the only thing that's really resonating is that. But there was one other good quote that's going to help me get out of here. Jamie Lee Curtis. Yes, William Wordsworth and Jamie Lee Curtis are together at last. And that is a good thing. You know, it had to happen. So, she came up with a really good one. She is appalled that we use the word anti-aging. And she's right. Like, what is this, a war? Aging is natural. Anti-aging? It's just wrong. So, good for you. And she's beautiful and everything. And she went gray. So, you know, she's still awesome. Thank you for anti-aging. I hadn't thought about it that way, but that's awful. So, okay, this has been really hard, and I'm still, the Zantac commercial is an earworm in my ear right now. So I've fallen and I can't get up. And I need John Luke to come to the rescue. So here, he had a couple of good aging jokes. Okay, the first one, there's this elderly gentleman. This guy is 90, but he is dressed to the nines. I mean, he's wearing alligator shoes. His hair is beautiful. He's got a gleam in his eyes. And he's wearing like super cologne. And he just saunters into this upscale bar. Mahogany. He looks great in mahogany. Mahogany background. Beautiful head of hair. And he walks up to this 61-year-old woman who's waiting for him. And I mean, she is cleavage out to here. Just looking in his eyes. He goes up to her. He kisses her on the lips. Looks right in her eyes. And he says, so tell me, do I come here often? It's kind of cute, right? Okay. So now, there's this mother-in-law. She's, you know, I don't want to say average or anything, but what she did was she stopped in at the newlywed couple's home. She knocked really quickly, but she just walked in the door, and you know you can't do that. Steps into the living room. There's her new daughter-in-law standing there naked. They stare at each other. The daughter-in-law picks up a pillow. She looks in the mother-in-law's eyes and she says, "What are you doing here?" The mother-in-law goes, "What are you doing naked?" Daughter-in-law says, "I'm not naked, I'm wearing a pillow." There's an awkward silence. She said, "Okay, I'm naked." The mother-in-law goes, "What are you doing?" She said, "Well, we don't call it naked. See, I'm wearing, okay, so your son, and it's your son, so own that. He calls this look my love dress. And he wants me to wear it every single night he comes home. So I do." The mother-in-law looks at her shocked. She goes, "My son told you to do that?" She said, "Yes, your son. Your son loves my love dress." She looks for another moment. She goes, "My son? Yes, no, go home because he's going to be here in a minute. It'll ruin everything." The mother-in-law jumps in her car. She starts driving away back to her house. And she's thinking and thinking about that love dress. The love dress. The love dress. She gets home. She has an idea. A thought comes into her head. That's always bad. She takes off all her clothes. She waits for her husband at the door. She gets nervous, so she takes her shower. She does her hair, lipstick, perfume, goes back to the door naked, okay? She really wants this. The guy comes home, her husband, he's late. Comes home a little bit late, okay? Not good. But she's coiffed her hair again, put on more lipstick and more perfume. When he arrives, he walks in the door, he sees her there naked. He goes, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm wearing my love dress." He looks at her and he says, "It needs ironing." She's serving a light sentence at San Quentin, and she's learning how to crochet. Not a bad ending. Okay, this leads me to the King of Kings, George Carlin. He's gonna sum up everything. He's gonna help us, help me. Stop hearing the Zantac commercial, okay? So, George on aging, he goes, "Do you realize the only time in your life when you like to get old is when you're a kid?" And he goes, "And I mean under 10. You're 4 and a half, you're 4 and 3 quarters, you're 6 and a half, you're gonna be 7, you're going to be 16. And then the great day arrives and you become a 21-year-old. And then you turn 30. Kind of sounds like bad milk. Ew. Then you're pushing 40. You're pushing 40. And then you reach 50. You reach it. And then, phew, phew, you make it to 60. But by then, you've built up so much steam and so much speed that you hit 70. And after that, it's a day-by-day thing. You hit a Wednesday. You slide into a Thursday. And if you make it to Saturday, you made it. And let me tell you what, today is Saturday. And we made it through another week of whatever is happening out there in the world. And remaining sane and not looking too much in the future is what we got to do. And, you know, I'm just going to, you know, the Zantac commercial is gone out of my head. I hope I could do something like that for you. And please believe me. I'm not kidding about the preparation H. I think I'm on to something. So just, if you got a little tube there, just give it one shot. Nothing bad happened. I did not get a hemorrhoid on my arm. She was wrong about that. I wouldn't have mentioned it if that had happened. Nothing bad's gonna happen, and maybe something good's gonna happen. I might even use it on my lower arm because that looks really bad too. I don't know why I just perseverate on my upper arm. You know, when my legs don't look good, and maybe I should put it all over my body. But at the moment, I'm just doing this one little scientific experiment. Just, I'm not trying to hurt you. It's just a thought. But anyway, just remember that we made it through another week. We win. This is all there is right now, is just staying sane, not becoming insane. So I will come back, and you know, I hear Zantac again. Okay, gotta change the subject. Okay, so anyway, just remember that I'm getting close to hitting 70. I'm gonna hit it with a bang. I'm gonna hit it hard. So I will talk to you guys later, and just take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.